The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. These are households where the wage earners make more than the federal poverty level, but not enough to pay for essentials like reliable health care, child care, and transportation. About 36% of Bexar County's households qualify as ALICE, in addition to 15% below the poverty line. Combined, that's 51% of San Antonio's area households struggling to make ends meet, more than half. Why is ALICE being squeezed so hard by the economy? How can we help ALICE families from falling further behind? You can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour with Adriana Cuellar Rojas, the president and CEO of United Ways of Texas. Stephanie Hoops is the founder and director of the National ALICE Project, and Henrietta Munoz is the senior vice president of grant research and evaluation for the United Way of San Antonio and Bexar County. Welcome, all of you. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Henrietta Munoz, you're here in San Antonio. Talk about what United Way of San Antonio. When you hear about ALICE, what are y'all thinking? Who is ALICE?
ALICE is unfortunately our neighbor down the street, our individuals who are working in the service industry, the individuals who are sometimes caring for our children. These are individuals, more than half, as you said, are individuals who are asset limited, working, but are working for very low wages. And so these are individuals that are all over our city.
So Stephanie Hoops, founder and director of the National ALICE Project, when we think about our economy and where people individually fall in, we talk about the upper class and the middle class and the poor. ALICE is not really that. It is something different. Can you talk more about that?
So we developed ALICE because we saw this mismatch between need in our communities, people who were struggling and not making it, and yet they weren't included in the official federal poverty level numbers. And when we looked into it, 50 years ago, this measure was developed, and it's a very low number. It's the same across the country. It doesn't take into account the difference in the cost of living, which we see varies greatly, not only across states, but certainly within states and across Texas, big differences between the big cities and the rural areas. So ALICE is a measure that captures those people that are earning above the federal poverty level, but below what we measure this basic household survival budget of the bare minimum that you need to live and work in the modern economy.
Adriana Cuellar Rojas, in Texas, you're the president and CEO of United Ways of Texas. Do we have a lot of ALICEs in Texas?
Unfortunately, yes. I think, you know, the point is, as Henrietta mentioned earlier, we all know ALICE. And yet ALICE's story is largely untold. And, you know, for us, we felt it was important to bring the story of ALICE to Texas because we know that there are many hardworking Texans who earn enough to exceed the federal poverty line, but earn too much to receive any public assistance. And so they struggle. In Texas, I think there's the basic belief that if you work hard, you can support your family. And yet the data that is represented in this report shows that for more than 4 million households in our state, that is sadly not the case.
So is ALICE a creature created by public policy, economic realities, or, you know, who's to blame for, you know, having so many ALICEs? Where did that come from, Stephanie Hoops?
So it's a structural problem in our economy. We have a mismatch between a lot of the key jobs that we need to keep our economy running smoothly and the wages that they pay versus the cost of that basic household budget.
So the stagnation of wages, but we're seeing the cost of living continuing to increase. We're seeing more and more pressures on individual families, especially, I guess it's no coincidence that this Alice's category is a female name. There's a lot of women out there who are struggling under these circumstances. It just seems like the entire universe is conspiring against you when you're trying to help your kids get to school and get to your two jobs, and then your car breaks down or someone gets the flu, and then it's just like you start losing ground, and it looks like it's almost impossible, or it is impossible, ever to catch up, Stephanie.
So without savings, it is very hard to catch up, that you have that one little emergency, and it can be a natural disaster, it can be getting the flu, it can be your child getting the flu, and you have to stay home from work. So there's a lot of, when you're just on the edge like that, a lot of things that make life hard. And I think it's important to remember that these people are working in jobs that we need. So they're important parts of our community. And people that, when they're not there, it makes life harder for everybody as well. It's men and women. It's young and old, it's all race and ethnicities, it's rural, urban, suburban. So there's not one Alice story, and in fact, there's many, many different ones.
I'm gonna go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980 with Brad. And hi, Brad, welcome to The Source, you're on the air.
Hi, this is certainly an interesting topic. I read several years ago a book by a lady named Barbara Ehrenreich. It was called Nickel and Dime. And then when I lived in Austin, somebody had pointed out that a lot of the school teachers and the police, fire, EMS, they couldn't afford to live in Travis County. And yet most people would tell you that police, fire, EMS, and teachers are pretty essential, you know, jobs, important roles. And I'm just wondering, would there be any way that governments would say, all right, we're going to have this housing tract. You can develop it, but we want you to set aside or, you know, build so many houses or offer low interest loans to people that are, I don't know, school teachers or counselors or police. And it seems like the government, by restricting what can be built and how much you have to spend and the zoning laws, the government's creating this problem it's trying to solve. I mean, the same person who's trying to come up with a solution caused it in terms of the political system. And I'll hang up and just listen to what the panelists have to say.
All right, Brad, thank you for the call. Really quickly, because we're about to go to the break, but Adriana Cuellar Rojas, can you, are there solutions out there for this?
Definitely. I think the caller had great ideas already. Our hope is that this data will be something that will then be able to be used at many levels, whether it's by employers themselves being able to look at what policies they have in place to support their workforce, or if it's local municipalities doing exactly what was suggested, looking at the expenses that Alice has to face every day, the decisions they have to make to get by and make decisions, make policy changes that will positively impact Alice. Our hope is the report and this data make sure that Alice's voice is present in decisions at every level.
ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. These are the working individuals all around us. You could be ALICE, or people in your family could be ALICE. What's the future look like for them? Why are they being left out of the American dream? What can we do with policy changes to address that? 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about ALICE. That stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. These are families that are struggling to make ends meet. They are treading water as they work double jobs. They have children that need health care. They need to go to school, maybe child care. And then suddenly there's a surprise wave, some sort of emergency, a scare, a car breaks down. Then they are underwater and they can't come up. And what happens to these individuals? This is an issue for the entire economy, because when we have people who don't have money to spend, then if you're trying to sell things, you got no one to sell stuff to. Payless Shoes announced this weekend that they were going out of business. We know that there was a report that came out just a few weeks ago that more Americans, a record number of Americans, 7 million, are behind 3 months on their car payments. This is a nationwide problem. We've got individuals who are being left out of the economy. Call in. How does this impact you? What are some solutions, some policy changes that need to be done to address this? Why aren't wages increasing? That's another issue. 210-614-8980. So, Henrietta Munoz with the San Antonio and Bexar County United Way, as you look at the ALIS category, and we know that 51% of the households in Bexar County, San Antonio are struggling, what are some things that are really the big obstacles?
Big obstacles
for these families.
For these families. Most of these families, as was already said, are working families. So there are barriers like childcare, affordable, quality childcare, transportation to and from work. One individual that I know is traveling at 3 o'clock in the morning to drop her children off and then to drive several hundred miles just to get a good-paying job. So transportation is important. A good solid workforce here in nearby where individuals live, I think, is also really important. Appropriate wages, education, opportunities for apprenticeships, opportunities for individuals to increase their education and receive certificates to get back into the workforce if they hadn't been in the workforce. A lot of those can be challenges, especially for individuals that don't know where to seek help first.
Right. And so are there policies, are there programs? What can be done to help these families that are in the ALIS category? Adriana Cuellar Rojas with the United Way of Texas.
Sure. There's increasing attention to, as Henrietta just mentioned, the widening skills gap and the growing need for people that have more than a high school diploma, less than a four-year degree. And there are some bills being filed this legislative session that do focus on that, helping local community colleges, helping high schools so that they can work together to help individuals earn that certificate so that they will be on a track and a path that helps them earn more. Definitely there are policies at all different levels that can happen and can support ALIS. So there are examples that like that at the state level, but there's also things that can be done at the local level.
Right.
So all different levels.
So Texas, we have the federal minimum wage. We don't have a higher minimum wage. Other states have adopted higher minimum wages. Stephanie Hoops, has that made a difference looking at the national picture since you're with the National ALIS Project?
So higher wages definitely make a difference for ALIS families. But to say there's one wage that is appropriate everywhere misses the point that the cost of living varies significantly. And so a minimum wage in one place may be plenty in another place, but it might not be enough in a more expensive area. And I think it's one of the challenges that we see in the San Antonio area that's booming economically. So you see this prosperity and you think people are fine, but the cost of living is also increasing. So to match the wages with those increases is important. So of course it's more complex than we'd all hope.
Right. People who are dealing with issues of child care, you know, child care is expensive. Also, housing is getting more expensive all the time. And if programs are created, say, by the United Way or some of your partnering agencies, how do you match them up with people who are in these ALIS families? Because these are folks that are really, really busy. They're working really hard. And they typically are not accustomed to looking for government programs. Adriana?
Well, we're very fortunate to have in our state a statewide resource in 211, which is a connector statewide. It's the three-digit number, similar to 911, but for non-emergencies. And it is a statewide in Texas and is how individuals in need can be connected to local resources. We're fortunate that in San Antonio, that is housed at the United Way of San Antonio. And it is definitely a way for people to that are in need, that are facing challenges, whether it's a crisis or whether it's just day-to-day challenges, to be connected to help. We know that ALICE is, in addition to facing, if they have one crisis that could put them behind or they have trouble getting ahead, as was already mentioned. But we also know that ALICE on a day-to-day basis is making really tough decisions. And so sometimes it is a resource like 211 that can help them connect to help in making those decisions.
Well, we hear all the time about how families are dealing with these surprise emergencies and they have to resort to things like payday loans. Are there other alternatives that are available, like at the United Way, Henrietta Munoz?
Yes, there are alternatives throughout the city. As Ariana just mentioned, you can call 211 to get connected to those alternatives. We have financial empowerment centers throughout the city, both operated by the City of San Antonio, as well as one of our partners, Family Service Association. We also have available the VITA effort, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. It's tax time. That effort is throughout the city. You could call 211 to receive locations nearest you to receive free tax preparation. We also have programming that's more long-term, where an individual who is working can access this this availability, this opportunity to receive skilled training to increase either a credential or achieve additional education to in hopes to receive an increased wages.
So Stephanie Hoops, you know, the founding director of the National ALICE Project, we have basically two economies, two Americas, where one of them is very affluent, another one is struggling and trying to stay afloat. And we're seeing that here in San Antonio as well, as we're economically segregated. And the people who are doing really well or making a lot of money seem to be snapping up all the assets and sucking up all everything that's out there. And that seems to be making it harder for people who are the working poor. I mean, is anyone looking at that?
Well, we definitely see this widening gap between income as well as wealth in Texas, but across the country. So it is definitely a trend that's going in the wrong direction. It's something that's often masked by some of the good economic news that we're hearing, the low unemployment, increased productivity, that kind of news. So this ALICE measure is one of the few ways that we know that economic prosperity is not reaching everybody. And as we've been talking about, there are different ways to address that at the local level, at the state level, and also at the national level. And it can be through government policy, taxes and benefits and those things, but it can also be through companies. And we see a number of companies raising the wages for their lowest wage workers and shifting some of their policies so that start times match with public transportation and providing childcare. There are a number of innovative policies that are making a big difference for ALICE workers. Schedules that you know in advance so you can plan your family responsibilities. So some things that cost money and some things that actually don't cost a lot of money, but just some thought and some attention to the challenges that their workforce are encountering.
Back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. We welcome you to our conversation as we talk about ALICE, struggling families. Lee is on the line. Hi, Lee. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me on. So I've been listening to your conversation, and I think it's a great subject of conversation, particularly with regards to, like, teachers and these other critical positions. I think it's great and all to talk about public subsidies, but it doesn't really get at the core matter of the subject, which is that people are not being paid in parallel with what the economy should be paying them for the services they're providing to that economy. It's a misunderstanding of what money is. Money is like blood. If it pools and stagnates, you have a problem. If you cut an artery and you're bleeding out, you have a problem. And so what you're basically saying is, let's choke off this portion of the economy and let's not pay them well enough so they're always struggling. And then if you sit there and say, okay, well, let's just give them one more subsidy, one more loan forgiveness program, one more thing, you're just adding more stress. As a father of two children myself, I can tell you the last thing I need is one more damn piece of paperwork to fill out to go find one more forgiveness program that takes care of it when my employer is just too damn cheap to pay me worth a damn.
All right, Lee, thank you for that. So he's saying, Stephanie Hoops, that we don't need more incentive programs or government programs that are going to provide assistance. We need an economy that seems to value workers more. Is that something, I mean, how do you do that?
Well, I think he makes a really good point, and he really brings to the table that current government assistance programs really help make poverty less bad, but they don't bring families up to financial stability. And most people would rather work hard and earn enough to support their families. That their, you know, preference isn't to have the government support them and a package of benefits that are hard to assemble and complicated and all that. So I think to the big picture, can we restructure the economy so that people can work hard, support their families, and buy the products of the companies where they work? And one of my favorite stories is Henry Ford, one of the first mass producers of goods, made sure that his workers earned enough that they could buy a car that came off the assembly line. So something you referred to in your opening remarks and an important thing to keep in mind as we want a stable economy that's able to continue. It's not possible to sustain this kind of mismatch between cost and wages over the long term.
But if you're trying to put some forces on the economy to address one side or another, the best way to do that, or one of the biggest tools that the government has to do that, is with tax policy. And it seems like there's been a continual shifting of the tax burden onto the working class and the middle class. And that seems to be one of the drivers of the accumulation of so much wealth in the upper part of the economy. The big earners are being able to keep more. So as you talk about Alice, do you talk about tax policy, Stephanie Hoops?
There are some really good analyses out there of equitable tax policies, and I think it would behoove most states and the federal government to understand those better and reallocate some of that pressure.
Do we have like the earned income tax credit and things like that seem to work really well?
EITC has done a lot, and I think Henrietta and Adriana might have more to talk about what's going on in Texas with that.
Well, okay. So Adriana, any real quickly?
Sure. We know that United Ways across the state are very active in financial stability and the work that is involved with voluntary income tax assistance centers and helping individuals draw down earned income tax credit. We know that there is a great deal of money still left on the table that people don't draw down every year that is theirs, that they have earned and that they paid in taxes and that is due back to them and it isn't brought back. So we know that there is more than can be done. And our hope is just that this is another tool to help communities continue this conversation about what more can be done together to support these individuals that are working so hard and yet still struggling.
Right, helping these individuals, these Alice families, will help the overall economy as well as help people have a higher quality of life and avoid unnecessary stress and the burdens and falling further behind in the economy. If you got a question or a comment, we really want to hear from you. Are you employed but still struggling to make ends meet? Callers can be anonymous. We want to hear what you have to say about Alice. Is this talk, are we describing you? 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about Alice. Alice is a big part of our community, our society. Alice stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Unemployed. Another way of saying the working, struggling folks that we have all around us, and there are many. It costs about $5,000 a month to maintain a family of four in Bexar County. New findings published by the United Way of Texas had identified about 500,000 local households in Alice homes who are in between the federal poverty standards and below the amount needed for basic living. So how do we help Alice families get ahead? How do we keep them from falling further behind? How can we help Alice from being squeezed in our economy? You can call in with your questions and comments, 210-614-8980. And Patrick is on the line. Hi, Patrick. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I help out two families personally. And frankly, I see the results of poverty as engendering more poverty and making the situation worse. And the people can't afford health care, they can't afford a place to live. And in one case, my friend deteriorated to the point where he was very near death because he had to choose between keeping the lights on and going to the doctor, and what was a mild infection progressed to nearly killing him. And in the other case, I can tell you that $5,000 a month is a ridiculous amount for this other family to be even remotely making. They're lucky to clear $1,000.
Patrick, thank you for the call. So you mentioned the individual who had the infection and their condition deteriorated, and that seems to be not uncommon. And we're talking about people who get hit with an emergency, and because they don't have any resources, they don't have any savings, and they don't have a safety net in order to help them, that it just gets worse and worse, and now they get into a downward spiral. So is there a way, Henrietta Munoz with the San Antonio Bexar County United Way, how do we help people who need help?
So the first thing I want to leave with your listeners is that they can call today our United Way at 211. That is the first line of defense, so to speak, for individuals who want to reach out, who want to learn more about different programming throughout the city. The 211 line has resources that are not just affiliated with the United Way, but are resources throughout the entire county and city, and in some cases, the entire region. So if you're not in Bexar County and hearing this show and want to reach out, you can certainly call 211. The other thing that I'd like to leave your listeners is that there are opportunities right now with large institutions like our local Alamo colleges, our Workforce Solutions Alamo. Our United Way is also involved in demonstrating different initiatives that can really work toward pushing up that livable wage up beyond that Alice income level, but in addition to that, to help practice for savings. There was an initiative at one point at tax time. We were just talking about VITA. There was an initiative at one point here in San Antonio about tax time saving. When individuals receive their income tax and save a portion of it, there was a program to match that. There are programs similar to this throughout the state of Texas, but also throughout the national scene. But here locally in San Antonio, we have two generational approaches. We have childcare, burial, removal. If you need to go to work and you need help with childcare, you can call 211 for those burial removals. So there's a variety of items and solutions that can be available to individuals here.
Very practical solutions. Very practical. For people who are in a dire circumstance. And quickly, they just pick up the phone and call
211.
211. All right, let's go to another caller. This is Miriam. Hi, Miriam. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. And something that I haven't heard is that I'm a 50-year-old woman, and I have a degree, but I find very difficult to find a job. It took me 2 years just to get a job, and that pays more than $10 an hour. With my experience, my schooling, why we cannot find jobs, why, you know, it's being given to the young people, and why they don't appreciate or they don't see that all our experience.
Miriam, thank you so much. That's a great point. Let me go to Adriana Cuellar Rojas with the president and CEO of United Way of Texas. And it seems though when you're young, you feel invincible and you have a lot of opportunities and you can push yourself ahead. But then you start, you know, racking up those years, you get 40, you hit 50, and then you're finding yourself almost trapped in, you know, you've got mounted debt and fewer opportunities. And these are people who are really going to feel the Alice pinch.
Most definitely. We know that there are quite a few individuals, adults that are out there working hard, often multiple jobs to make ends meet, and they need help. And a lot of, there are programs out there, like Henrietta mentioned, that are operated by community colleges or workforce boards that will help those individuals with a certificate so that they can have a different path and a different earning path. You know, I think that the point is that there are, I think, a lot of assumptions about who Alice is, and folks across the state, across the country, make assumptions that aren't adequate. They aren't correct. And so, you know, the story of Miriam, the story of others that are hardworking Texans will help us make those better decisions if we keep them front and center in our conversations, in our decision making.
Another caller, this is Mark. Hi, Mark. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. Go ahead.
I wanted to just pass something along to you.
Okay.
I've been dealing with the customer base that you're speaking of on the phone, mostly minority women and that have children, possibly a spouse or a significant other, but not always. They have no ability to get to work without a car. The transportation system in San Antonio, outside of about a 5-mile radius of downtown, makes it almost impossible. They take any job they can to try to support their family. They're good people, don't have a lot of background, don't necessarily know how to even balance a checkbook, but solid citizens that try so hard with one and two jobs. And I've, over the 10 years, provided them transportation, good transportation, which I've never found anybody that does this in San Antonio to that market. What they end up doing is taking their tax return money, going to a buy here, pay here lot, trying to get any kind of transportation so they can get to work. And then that card goes nowhere and they're paying 20% interest. These are the things that go on in San Antonio that need to be resolved. In San Antonio, to try to find a system to provide them independence with a good, reliable car at an efficient and cost-effective way to do that.
All right, Mark. So he brings up that there are predatory type individuals, you know, that make it really hard for the working people to get out of their terrible situations. You know, is there some sort of economic literacy that needs to be going on with Alice to help them make better decisions, Stephanie Hoops?
So these are great calls that you pull in on your show. This is terrific. So in terms of payday loans and buy here, pay here now, there's a lot of financial products that are very expensive and don't make a lot of economic sense unless that's your only option. And a lot of Alice families have low credit scores and are not eligible for regular banking products. So it may not seem like a good decision, but it may be their only decision if they don't qualify for a loan, a small business loan, or a loan at their at a commercial bank, that these are their only alternatives. So there are some new innovative financial products coming out there. It's a world where there are a lot of predatory practices, and there are some policy innovation that could make a big difference, that could level the playing field, that could bring in some much more reasonable products and address this big need. Because being able to borrow can be really important. It may be cheaper to borrow from a payday lender than to have your electricity turned off and turned back on again. That fee is very expensive. But there's a lot of frustration that goes in with this. All these transactions take a lot of time. And I think that we're seeing that frustration boil up in a lot of different ways. Some of it's coming out in politics, some of it's coming out on talk radio. Some of it's coming out in music. So we really need to pay attention to this.
So one issue is, I don't want to call it predatory, but it's not a good deal, is when you do get your income tax return and you go to one of these quick refund type places. And if you went to a VITA establishment here in San Antonio, which is working in cooperation with Goodwill facilities, it will take you a couple of more days to get your income tax return, but you will save $400, $500, $600. Is that right, Henrietta Munoz?
That's exactly right. Yes. And VITA, again, is volunteer income tax assistance. It's free tax preparation for individuals who make $55,000 or less. If you've been to a VITA site before and if you've had an increase in your income over that $55,000, feel free to come back again. We will still do your taxes. There are tax sites throughout the entire city. Last year, we saved individuals $11.3 million in tax preparation. So this is an important effort for individuals who are below that $55,000 mark of income. You can call 211 to receive a site nearest you. There are sites throughout the entire city. Goodwill, you mentioned Goodwill Industries, has sites at their retail stores. Also, there are sites at libraries and different locations throughout the city, 211 to find your nearest VITA site.
Right. So the way those quick tax return places work is that basically they're giving you a loan based on your income tax return at a very, very high interest and at a large fee. So they may tell you, we're going to give you your money right now, but we're going to take $400 or $500 off the top. And that's not a good deal, especially when $500 can make a big difference in your life. So a VITA at United Way, that's a place to look for that. We're going to take a break. Got a lot more calls here. We're going to get them on the air. 210-614-8980. We're talking about Alice. They used to say Alice doesn't live here anymore. Alice does live here, lives in Bexar County. Quite a many Alices live here. These are the people that are feeling the squeeze of the economy. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about folks who are living above the poverty level, but they're not making enough in order to keep up with living here in Bexar County. We call them ALICE, which stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. And Isabel is on the line. Isabel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks a lot. I just wanted to add, I'm staying in transitional housing right now, just for mothers that are working or going to school. And I just want to say, I know there are a lot of good resources, like the woman from United Way was talking about, but I really think there's like a disconnect between the people that need that kind of help and getting that help, especially like culturally. Like, they don't really know sort of where to begin, and they often don't even know they exist, of course. But even when they do find them, like, there's a lot of things you have to do. I know from the state officially, like, you have to prove what your income level is. You have to get proof of income. You know, language barrier is just one example of what's the problem. But there's also just, like, this kind of perception in the culture that makes it hard to really, like, think, oh, yeah, I can just call this and I can do these things. Like, it can be really a struggle if you don't know all those things you have to do to get that help.
All right, Isabel, thank you for that. It's difficult to get SNAP benefits. They don't make it easy. And also, we have a culture that stigmatizes people who are not wealthy, okay? We just like, no one wants to admit that they're poor. But, you know, I'm poor. I grew up poor. I'm going to be poor the rest of my life. It's just going to be the way it's going to be. And so everyone just needs to get over it so we can not be suffering while we're poor. So how do we deal with the stigma of not being wealthy, and why is that a barrier to helping families who need help? Stephanie Hoops.
There's a range of reasons, and I think your caller is very thoughtful in what she's presenting. And we see all kinds of barriers in terms of race and ethnicity, gender, sexual identity. You know, some of them seem very traditional, but some of them are newer barriers. Age has crept in. So we need to be mindful of that. We also need to recognize that there are a lot of knock-on effects from this. So we're addressing finding someone a job and not realizing it's a job that's got low wages and no career path. So it's got to be more thoughtful than just getting employed. It needs to be somewhere where you can advance either with hard work on the job and or getting training offline after work, take a break for a couple of months. And I think this idea of ongoing lifelong education is going to be more and more important as our economy advances technology and more jobs require use of digital technology, overseeing automation, all those kinds of things. And I know that United Way in Texas has been very involved in kind of that ongoing education and training.
All right. Another caller, TJ. Hi, TJ. Welcome to The Source.
Hi. Thanks for having me. And thank you, everyone, for being on the show. But one thing that has occurred to me while listening to the other callers and what you're saying is that essentially you're putting a Band-Aid on cancer. And I say that as a cancer survivor. I'm an educated individual. I work in IT. And what I've noticed is that my wages have, quite honestly, over the past 15 years, have been cut in half. The issue is not that it's, with the Alice. I think there's a little bit of a embarrassment to be classified as that, and that's partially the reason why it hasn't really come to the forefront. But what we've been talking about for years and is also coming to the forefront is income inequality, where you don't see the gains in wages based on productivity as productivity increases. And that's been going on for decades. It's not just a San Antonio issue. It's a nationwide issue. We have to have the political capital to go ahead and combat that.
All right. Thank you for the call. I'm going to get another caller on the air. We have a lot of them here. This is John. Hi, John. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a mental health provider, and I've been working on the South Side for about 15 years. And so I know Alice. I know a number of families in that category. And though they may qualify for city or government resources, but the problem is that identifying the programs takes a while and qualifying takes a while. And by then, their problems mount. We need more direct assistance. The city, for example, could help them by paying off their utility bills, bringing them up to date, lifting them up, giving them some kind of inspiration. And how about we encourage the top 1% in San Antonio to adopt a family? There's a program in California where families, young families at risk of homelessness, these more affluent families will take them into their homes. That's what families do for each other, and we can kind of bridge that gap more quickly. So it's more of the immediate assistance today, these daily decisions that we need to address.
All right, John, thank you for that. So communities coming together, I know what it's like going down to CPS and paying that partial light bill just enough to keep the lights on. And a lot of families go through that all the time. Is there, this can't be done with government programs. This can't be done with, this really is a community needs to come together. Henrietta Munoz?
Yes, I truly believe that we have to talk about policies. We have to talk about systems and institutions that have a responsibility to their workforce, but we also have to understand that they're access to opportunities, the access to the programming that might be available also has to be available, more easily available to individuals. One of your callers recommended an easier way to receive different programming. And some of those do exist. It is difficult. It doesn't, SNAP doesn't make it exactly easy to fill out all the paperwork, but there are opportunities out there.
But so the United Way, talk about, what the United Way does, Adriana Cuellar Rojas. A lot of people are familiar with fundraising and y'all help provide resources for nonprofits. How does this fit with what the United Way is?
Sure. Well, United Way was founded on the premise that all of us together can do more. So data like this helps us solve and convene precisely these complicated issues. You're fortunate to have in San Antonio a United Way that has a long history of convening people around tough subjects. And they do just that by shining the light on on Alice, on elevating Alice's voice, on bringing all the partners together, whether it's the city, the community colleges, the school districts, or the nonprofit sector, and trying to find a way that everybody can tackle and play a role in the issue. This is, as the last caller, I believe John said, this is a community-wide issue, and it will take the whole community to support the Alices in our community. You know, I think of the Alices every day that play such an important role in my life. They take care of my kids. They might make my coffee in the morning or help bag the groceries. And so my life is very much enhanced and supported by Alice. And so what can now I do to help support Alice as well? United Ways definitely play a role in that, but everybody in the community can play a role in supporting as well.
And let's go to Julie on the phones. Hi, Julie. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
What I wanted to say is I think that we all have a responsibility to raise the standard of living for people who don't have very much. For example, I have a wonderful, wonderful woman that comes and cleans my house once a week, and I'm 77 years old. I couldn't do without her. When every year I give her a raise. I feel the same way about, especially that we hire people to take care of young children in our homes. I think they're all underpaid. I think that there are so many, I guess, of what you would call the service industries, if you would, we don't value them enough.
All right, Julie, thank you for the call. Great insight. I appreciate that. So Stephanie Hoops with the National Alice Project, as you talk on a national basis and you have a wider view and you're talking to policymakers, hopefully in the nation's capital, is there an awareness that we have all these eat the poor type policies in the country and we need to change focus?
So we found a very receptive audience in almost all policymakers across the political spectrum. And people recognize these are important parts of their constituencies. We found Alice in every state in the country. In fact, 43% of households across the country are Alice families. Texas is 42%, so right there with the U.S. average. Bexar County and San Antonio are a little bit higher, so more of an issue locally. But, you know, when it's more than a third of your economy, a third of your community can't support themselves, you need to pay attention. The way that they're approaching it is very different across the political spectrum. Some focus much more on the jobs and education and training, other much more on what kind of supports can be provided, and especially for those low-level jobs. There's different ways that you can come at this. And since the problem is so big, we know we're going to need more than one answer. It's going to take a lot of changes because it's going to mean some shifts in our overall economy. But to your caller's point, those vital services, childcare, caring for the elderly, things that you need to be there in person for and that shape, you know, a person's for a child, it shapes their entire future. Those are important, valuable jobs and need to be rewarded accordingly. And yet Alice uses childcare, and if their cost of childcare is too expensive, they can't afford it.
And helping Alice will help the overall economy, it'll help the nation, it'll build a stronger middle class, and we know that a democracy depends upon a strong, vibrant, informed, engaged middle class. I want to thank all of our guests this afternoon. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning us in.